And joining us in studio, as promised earlier, are Stefan Quint and Bill Beyer. Stefan, did I say your last name correctly?
Pretty close.
Okay. That's the last time I'll say it. So yeah. I'll just refer to you as Stefan. Who are filmmakers who are presenting tonight, as a matter of fact, at 7 p.m. down at North House Folk School. Actually, you're not presenting the whole film, Stefan. You're going to be kind of narrating and presenting parts of it. Is that
we are showing clips from different movies, but we are showing a bigger section of the Saga 2 of the Pretty Much 100% Scandinavian.
Okay, now the Pretty Much 100% Scandinavian is actually a series of how many?
Maybe
pieces?
Six.
Maybe
six.
So six you're still it's still a work in progress.
Absolutely.
Now, I know that you came to this country a number of years ago as a filmmaker.
Yes.
Bill, what's your... Explain the roles that each of you have.
Sure. I also came to this country quite a while ago, but not as a filmmaker. It was as a baby. I was born in Chicago and had a 25-year career at the University of Minnesota. And was going off the board of trustees at the American Swedish Institute. And instead of heading toward higher education, I headed toward higher ground with the American Swedish Institute. And was director of museum education, collections, and programs there for just over 5 years. And it was there that I met Stefan. He came with a film. We invited him back with two films 2 years later as part of a Swedish wildlife art exhibit. And it was then that we cooked up this idea of seeing if there was wildlife of a more human kind among Scandinavian Americans, which has resulted in this series of films.
So what, Stefan, what is the series of the Pretty Much 100% Scandinavian series of films about... I'm assuming Scandinavian Americans, but
that's correct. Yeah, well, it's about work, art, music. It's about a lot of different things, and the second one is about humor. And that's something that everybody asks us: how are they funny, the Scandinavians? So, if you're out there tonight and you don't think the Scandinavians can be funny, come tonight. You'll hear some funny people.
So the tonight's, if I'm not mistaken, is entitled Scandinavian American Humor, More Than Ole and Lena. And when you talk about Scandinavians, you're talking about the Danes, you're talking about the Finns, the Icelanders, the Norwegians, the Swedes.
We're talking about...
Are all those, though, nationalities the same in terms of their humor or their relationship?
We're really talking about the five Nordic countries, but in this country, all five are referred to as Scandinavian. Mm-hmm. So it's Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, and Iceland. There are differences among the five, but the sensibilities are pretty much the same. And when they came to this country, they looked at each other and said... distant cousin.
Okay.
And so quite quickly, families became Norwegian-Swedish or Swedish-Finnish. So pretty much 100% Scandinavian covers the waterfront.
Stefan, excuse me, Bart.
Oh, I was just going to throw in there that please. The Swedes are a lot brighter than the Norwegians.
You know that too, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I've got a kindred spirit over there, so knows.
We'll be getting a phone call shortly. And actually, I'm part Swedish, and I'm living proof that that isn't true. what prompted the idea? How did the idea first, Stefan, get its seed to do this series of films?
Well, it started when I came that second time to American Swedish Institute. And we have an office in Alaska, and for at least 20 years, I've been interviewing Aleutic native families in Alaska and on the island of Kodiak, where we have the office.
When you say we have the office, who?
Well, our company, Camera Q. Which
I got it.
Company.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Well, we are more than myself.
Sure.
We're a few people. Anyway, so we had at least 75 interviews with natives of Kodiak. And they all had last names like Carlson, Svensson, Persson, Hallström, and Håkansson. And when I first came to Kodiak 25 years ago, I opened a phone book, which wasn't much bigger than a little magazine, and I saw all these Scandinavian names, and I thought, this is kind of unusual. I didn't expect all the names of the natives to be Scandinavian. But a couple of years later, I started to find out that these people had their father come from the old country, from Sweden mainly, or Norway. And so I interviewed these people for years, and I was showing some clips from that series to Bill. And Bill said, why can't we do that here in Minnesota? There's a few Scandinavians here too.
I actually said that you could stick out your arms and go 360 degrees and you'll hit five people on the way around who will be able to tell you their backgrounds back four or five generations.
Yeah.
And these folks who are Aleutic Scandinavians, a little uncertain about why it is that father or grandfather came. Probably there was something in the background that wasn't pulling as hard as pushing to end up on Kodiak.
Now, how many different people have you? There's perhaps six segments to this overall project.
Yeah, that's what
how many different people so far have you interviewed?
Wow, that's we haven't kept track since 150. So I think we're about 200 people. Individuals now, and then we have, of course, filmed groups, choirs, and so hundreds of people as part of the series.
We're visiting with Stefan Quinth and Bill Beyer, who tonight will be screening pretty much 100% Scandinavian Saga 2, which is on Scandinavian humor. There are those that would argue that Scandinavian humor is... As someplace I read, if you can move them to smile, that may be the best you can do. You've obviously found something different than that.
Oh, absolutely. Every time we've been screening the second saga, people have laughed a lot. So I think people...
And it's more than Ole and Lena.
Well, there's a couple of Ole and Lena in there too, and they laugh at that as well. But I think Scandinavians can be very funny. Little stiff, maybe, but funny.
Stiff.
It's a sneaky humor.
Yeah, you
get it. We had one fellow the other day describe it as a double take humor. You hear it, and then you do a double take, and oh, that was funny, wasn't it?
They all do have the reputation for being a little reserved, though, don't they? Now, as I understand it, there's some North Shore residents that are part of your film
there's
as well.
There's a few, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Can you tell us who is? I can tell you if you don't.
Let me. Bill, you remember better than I do.
He holds the camera, and I talk to the people. So that's.
And we don't want to talk about the time when you were holding the camera.
We don't want to do that.
We can talk about that later tonight.
Yes, we can.
Don't get your roles mixed up at all. Is that it?
Rose Arrowsmith, who's a recent North Shore resident.
Yep. Rose Arrowsmith.
She's on our radio station here.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, she's a storyteller.
On Saturday mornings, a storyteller on our morning program.
Well, you're fortunate to have her, and we miss her in the Twin Cities. And she's up at Wilderness Canoe Base with her spouse. Art Bjornjeld, who is apparently playing tomorrow afternoon with a group that he plays with up here. He's
Portage.
Mm-hmm. band.
Mm-hmm. And he's partly in St. Paul and partly up at Grand Portage. Mm-hmm. We had a wonderful interview with Gunnar Eriksson, and we understand that he passed here recently. What a fine man, a really large spirit, and we were looking forward to his being part of this evening, but that won't be the case. He'll be with us.
You have a lot
spirit.
Of material with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you decide? I mean, these are documentaries, obviously.
Yeah.
How do you decide who to interview? I mean, as you said, Bill, it's not a shortage of Scandinavians in this part of the world. But so how do you decide who you're going to interview for these projects?
Well, for the second saga, anybody that was Scandinavian-American and it was funny or was had something to tell, that some of the stories are true stories, and they're still funny. And some, of course, are made-up stories, and they are sometimes funny. So that's kind of what we're looking for the second saga. And the third saga is about life and work. Uh-huh. And, of course, anything can be life and work, so that's a wide subject.
Sure.
But we're trying to get logging, fishing, and people that did something with their hands, carving, wood carving. Mm-hmm. And there's quite a few of those around. And they'll also be funny. It'll be a lot of fun, people talking about their work. And Gunnar Eriksson will be part of that too, because he was in the Salvation Army, and that's life and work.
Yeah, yeah, all in one.
Yeah, all in one. So
I want to remind our listeners that Bill and Stefan will be screening the film tonight at North House Folk School at 7 o'clock. So once again, people can listen to this program right up to the time they get there, and it's open to the public. Well, I've always wanted to ask a native Swede their favorite either Sven and Ole or Ole and Lena joke.
Ole and Lena joke, my goodness.
One that we can tell on the air, because I can't tell anymore.
I never heard those. Well, in the movie, we have a couple very funny Ole and Lena jokes, and I'm not going to tell them now because I want people to come and listen.
Absolutely, yeah, I don't want to spoil those for anybody.
I can tell you that my favorite is when Ole and Lena is at the state fair in Minneapolis on going on an airplane ride. That is funny. And that's told by...
And it's Art Bjørndal, yeah, who tells it.
Okay. He's just incredible. Yeah. I mean, his whole face is wonderful when he tells a story.
Huh. But now when we've done the films, we've asked those that we've talked with to tell their favorite Ole and Lena joke. Do you have one?
Actually, I do.
Well, would you tell it?
Yeah. This is one actually that I found today. It's a little bit long. Is that all right? Is that okay, Buck?
Well, we have to be there by 7.
Well, not that long.
Oh, okay.
And incidentally, you were saying that some of those are sneaky, the humor in there. And I tell you what, if you have to think much about it, I'm out. I won't get it. So hopefully this one will be easy, Bob.
All right, okay. Shoot.
Ole and Lena were at the kitchen table, as usual, having their morning cup of coffee and listening to the weather report. There will be 3 to 5 inches of snow, and a snow emergency has been declared, they said. All vehicles should be parked on the odd-numbered side of the streets today to facilitate snowplows. Oh, yeeper, says Ole, getting up, bundling up, and heading outside to dutifully put his car on the odd-numbered side of the street. 2 days later, Ole and Lena were at a morning coffee again when the radio voice said there will be 2 to 4 inches of snow today, and a snow emergency has been declared. You must park your vehicles on the even-numbered side of the streets. Ole heapers, he gets up from his coffee as before. He bundles up, shuffles off, puts his car on the even-numbered side of the street. A few days later, the couple was at the table having coffee when again the radio voice declared, there will be 6 to 8 inches of snow today, and a snow emergency has been declared. You must park your cars on the... And just then the power went out. Park it there, Ole says. What should I do? Oh, to heck with them, Lena. Don't worry about it today. Just let's leave the car in the garage.
Did you get that
one? Yeah, I got that one. It wasn't that sneaky.
Wasn't that sneaky and wasn't that good?
It was good. That was good.
I got a couple of short ones, but I'll just make it one maybe. I wonder which one I should tell. It's Ole jokes. I don't know where Lena was or...
I don't know. When she had the good sense not to be
happening,
there.
But she wasn't around. But Ole walks into work one day, and they had both of his ears were just bandaged, just full of, you know, gauze and tape and everything. And his boss says, "Well, Ole, what happened to you? What happened to your ears?" And he says, "Well, I tell you, yesterday I was ironing a shirt when the phone rings, and I accidentally answered the iron." And his boss looks at him and says, "Well, that explains one ear. What happened to the other ear?" "Well, I had to call the doctor." I'm sorry. You always have to apologize after those jokes.
You kind of do. You kind of do. Now, where all are you screening this film, Stefan? I know you're up here, at North House, but you've been showing this
Other places. Yeah. Well, of course, we've been to... American Swedish Institute, and we've been to Gustavus College,
mm-hmm.
And on Sunday we are in Duluth, and I can't remember.
And we're at the First Lutheran Church.
There we go. Yep.
at 3 p.m., and it's a benefit, actually, for Voyager Lutheran Ministries. Ah. It has a system of summer camps for kids in Grand Marais, but also elsewhere.
Now, you're obviously still working on the project. You're still filming and putting the film together.
Oh, yeah.
And you said there will be perhaps six segments. What's going to determine whether there's five or whether there's six?
Well, when people stop laughing at movies and don't show up at the screenings, we'll just stop making movies, right, Bill?
I suppose so. It really is seriously determined by the topics that present themselves in the material. And the third, as we've said, is on work and life. And the fourth will be on artists, including Rose as a storyteller. Mm-hmm. And musicians, but poets, Bart Sutter, the poet from
sure.
Duluth.
Yeah.
We can't quite see five and six just yet, but okay. We'll have to see.
Well, we do have so much footage, though.
Oh.
We have 140 hours maybe of footage, and they're all 1 hour long, so we're only going to use 6 hours. So you can imagine that it'll be only a fraction of all that footage. So we have footage already of a lot of good things. It's just that we need to make a decision of what will we be using.
And who's making those decisions, and who's deciding what the segments are, and who's doing the editing and all the rest of that? You are.
Well, I'll let him think he is.
It's got to be incredibly difficult, though. I mean, as you just said, Stefan, you've got 140 hours of interviews with people, and then to decide, okay, you know, what makes, not just who, but what makes the cut, what's really going to be best in there. It's got to be very difficult.
It's very hard. And, of course, there are a lot of people that you would like to bring in and use for the films, but you can't because there are the competition between people, you know. I like them all,
mm-hmm.
but I can only use so many
sure.
of them. So that's hard, and the decision can sometimes... sometimes we have different opinions, Bill and I, but I always win, so there's never a problem, really.
The interesting thing has been for me to work with someone who's been doing this for 35 years and who has lived in both story and picture, and my career as... faculty and administrator at the University of Minnesota, and then as an administrator at the American Swedish Institute, has been primarily in words.
Mm.
And to watch someone see the visual possibilities or lack thereof as we finish a conversation has been really instructive. And to see him edit, and we're in conversation as that happens, and pull audio, visual, music, transitional techniques, it's like watching someone play an organ.
Sure.
And it really has been fun for me to be a part of.
It's been fun for me too.
Well,
good.
So glad.
So far, so good.
Well, we should also say that we don't throw away any other footage, and eventually it'll end up in an archive at the American Swedish Institute, we hope.
Well, that actually leads to my next question, and that is, once you're done with however many segments you have and whatever it's on, will this be then archived at the American Swedish Institute in Minneapolis so that if people are there that they'll be able to see all a part of it?
They will see the entire interviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we do the editing, we clip a few seconds here and a few seconds there.
Sure.
But they will be able to, for research or studies or whatever they need, or maybe great-grandchildren would like to see what Grandpa looked like and listen to his stories, because maybe when they were young, they didn't understand that those stories were fun and interesting. So they can always go back and listen to them.
I think that's a great point, you know, and quite frankly, I'm one of those. But when I grew up, my grandfather was 100% Swedish. My grandmother was 100% Scotch. And they had all sorts of stories about their family. And I just wasn't interested.
Yeah.
You know, give me a break.
Yeah.
Now they're gone. And a lot of those stories, my mother doesn't remember or That's a real. I wish I had them back.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had those stories back.
I always tell people that get a camera for your grandchildren. Buy them a little video camera and tell them to film your stories. Maybe you have to pay them to do that because they might not be interested enough at the time. But you know, it's going to be a gold mine 20 years from the day you film it.
Yeah. In my case, I'll just have them record it.
Yeah.
I'd just rather not be on film. We have been visiting with Bill Beyer and Stefan Quinth, who will be screening tonight at North House at 7 p.m., Pretty Much 100% Scandinavian Saga 2, which is on Scandinavian American humor. I want to thank both of you for coming in this evening. It's a pleasure to have you here. And looking forward very much to the screening. It should be
it should be
more than a smile.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for the jokes.